Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the webcast for the Spring 2025 Block Energy and Capacity RFP, or BCRFP. My name is Katie Orlandi, and I am from NERA Economic Consulting, the Procurement Administrator on behalf of the Illinois Power Agency. And presenting with me today is Paul Cardona and Kate Morrison, who are also from NERA. This webcast is going to cover the four procurement events held under the Spring BCRFP. There are three events to procure block energy for Ameren Illinois, Commonwealth Edison, and Mid-American Energy Company, and then a fourth procurement event for capacity for Ameren Illinois. Throughout this presentation, we may refer to the utilities as follows: Ameren Illinois as AIC, Commonwealth Edison as ComEd, and Mid-American Energy Company as MEC. We're going to take written questions at the end of the presentation as time permits. To submit a written question, you can use the chat function, type in your question, and hit enter to all panelists and hosts. The presentation materials, including an audio recording and the questions and answers, will be posted to the procurement website, which is ipa-energyrfp.com, and that posting will happen by Monday. This slide provides a short disclaimer. So, any statements herein or made on the call that describe or refer to the RFP and contract documents are summaries only, and they're qualified in their entirety by the governing documents. Those governing documents include the contract documents, which were posted on March 5th, and the RFP documents that were posted yesterday on March 6th. And so these documents are all available at this time on the procurement website, and bidders bear full responsibility for reviewing and understanding these documents. Before I move to the agenda for today's webcast, here is a screenshot for navigating to those governing documents. You go to ipa-energyrfp.com, click on the Block Energy and Capacity Procurement subsection in orange on the left, and then you can click on the Final Materials link. So, on the call today, I'm going to start with an overview of the procurement events, including the products to be procured. I'll provide some details on the supplier contracts and a general overview of the RFP process and timeline. I'll pass the presentation to Kate Morrison next for the RFP process requirements and how to qualify. And then Paul will wrap up with a discussion on bid submission and then the evaluation procedures in the final section. On September 30th, 2024, the Illinois Power Agency, or IPA, filed its procurement plan with the Illinois Commerce Commission. That plan was approved on December 19th, 2024. The procurement plan provides for four procurement events to be held this spring under a Block Energy and Capacity RFP. As I mentioned, NERA serves as the procurement administrator for this RFP, and in this role, we serve as your main point of contact. We're going to review the qualification materials that you submit to us, and we will evaluate the bids that are received on the bid dates. Please direct all questions regarding the procurement events to NERA. This slide introduces the products that are available in this RFP, and then I'm going to move into some more detailed slides, first related to block energy, and then we'll move to capacity. So, high level, the RFP seeks to procure block energy for AIC, ComEd, and MEC. The products available are specific quantities of on-peak and off-peak energy in monthly periods from June 1, 2025 through May 31st, 2028. There are quantities to be procured for MEC in the first year only. The capacity product is procured for AIC only. Specifically, this RFP seeks to procure zonal resource credits, or ZRCs, for a given season as defined by MISO for the 2026-27 and 2027-28 planning years in order to fulfill a portion of the forecast requirement for AIC for these 2 years. There's a new option this spring for capacity bidders to bid on annual combinations. This is a grouping of ZRCs that includes all 4 seasons. Also, there's a new financially settled swap contract available for ZRCs, and I'm going to cover these new options in more detail in later slides. So, an energy product represents block energy for a company, either AIC, ComEd, or MEC. It's for a specific segment, either on-peak or off-peak hours, and it's for a given month. The quantity of each product is divided into blocks of 25 megawatts. The final targets, or the number of blocks to be procured for each product, are provisional at this time. The final targets will be posted, or are expected to be posted by March 24th, and we'll send an announcement, to the registrants list at that time as soon as the targets are posted. Bidders can also bid on combinations of products for a particular company in on-peak or off-peak segment. The available combinations are January and February, March and April, July and August, Q4 or October, November, December, as well as an annual combination, which includes all months, June to May of a planning year. The number of blocks that are available in a combination is set to the minimum number of blocks that are available across all of the months in that combination. And I'm going to give an example on the next slide. So this slide provides the provisional targets for AIC, along with an example for how we set the number of blocks in a combination. Again, the targets are provided separately by company, segment, and month. So the top table includes the provisional targets for AIC for individual monthly products. For example, in the first row here for June 2025, the target is 9 blocks for the on-peak segment and 7 blocks for the off-peak segment. In the bottom table, we have the number of blocks available for each combination for AIC. So specifically for March, April 2026 combination, there's 5 on-peak blocks available, and that's because the minimum number of blocks available for each of March 2026 and April 2026 in the table above is 5, relevant to April. The bid evaluation for block energy considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. These benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology that's approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. After that first step, the evaluation will identify the least cost package for each company. So that completes the overview of the energy products. The next several slides are related to capacity. So, as defined in MISO's tariff, a ZRC represents 1 megawatt of seasonal accredited capacity that qualifies to satisfy the resource adequacy requirement for a given season of a planning year in a local resource zone. And this slide provides the definitions of seasons here from MISO. New for this spring BEC RFP, there's two capacity contracts that are available. One is for what we call MISO delivered ZRCs, and the other is for a new option to bid on financially settled ZRCs. I'm going to provide more detail on the requirements and settlement under both contracts, but upfront here, I wanted to note that bidders that qualify with a successful proposal under the capacity event can submit bids for one or both of these options, and you'll indicate that at the time of bidding. The qualification requirements under the proposal process for the RFP to qualify to submit bids for both of these contracts are the same. So, in regards to MISO delivered ZRCs, bidders that have bids approved for MISO delivered ZRCs are going to sign the AIC MISO delivered capacity agreement that's posted to the website. This contract is the same contract as offered in prior AIC procurement events with just several administrative edits that are new for this spring. Under this contract, ZRCs must be transferred to AIC using MISO's Module E capacity tracking tool by the delivery deadline, which is specified in the contract and is ahead of MISO's upcoming planning resource auction relevant to the planning year. ZRCs from all local resource zones can be offered. There is a payment adjustment for ZRCs from outside of the compliance zone that are selected and approved. The compliant zone is local resource zone 4. Bidders that have bids approved for financially settled ZRCs are going to sign the AIC financially settled capacity agreement that's posted to the website. Under this new financial swap contract, these financially settled ZRCs are going to mirror volumes of ZRCs awarded in the procurement event, as well as the settlement prices under the MISO PRA, but they do not require transfer of any ZRCs to AIC. Financial settlement will be based on the clearing result, the ACP, under MISO's PRA for the compliance zone, which is zone 4. And financial settlement can be both positive or negative. There's also a new option to submit a bid on an annual combination for both planning years and for both MISO delivered or financially settled ZRCs. One annual combination bid will include one ZRC from each season of the planning year. Similar to the block energy procurement, where annual combinations are also available, the number of ZRCs available to bid in an annual combination is just set to the minimum number of ZRCs available to bid across the seasons in that planning year. So, ZRCs for a given season of a planning year are going to be procured up to a target for that season across MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs. This means bids for MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs are going to be evaluated together up to a single seasonal target. The targets in the RFP for capacity are also provisional at this time and are expected to be finalized in a posting by March 24th. This slide here in the screenshots do provide the provisional targets and an example for how we calculate the annual combination that's available. A bid in the capacity event includes a price in dollar per megawatt day for ZRCs for a given season of a planning year or for an annual combination. A bid also includes the number of ZRCs to which the price applies, and then in regard to MISO delivered ZRCs only, a bid also needs to include the source zone for those ZRCs, which is the LRZ in which the ZRCs are located. New for this spring, there's a rule that each bid for a season must be for at least 4 ZRCs. So in the second half of the presentation, Paul's going to go into more depth on completing the bid form and details on evaluation. But generally, the evaluation of bids for capacity will also proceed in two steps independently for each planning year. So the evaluation will consider only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. Benchmarks, again, developed using a confidential methodology approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. And then the second step is where the evaluation will identify again the least cost package. This next section is an overview of the supplier contracts. As I mentioned, the final contracts were posted on March 5th. There are separate energy contracts for AIC, ComEd, and MEC, and then a separate capacity contract for MISO delivered versus financially settled ZRCs. Each contract is standard and non-negotiable, and bidders are required to accept the terms of the contract for the procurement event or events in which they are applying. And you'll do that upfront during the qualification process before submitting your bids. This means, in effect, that all bidders in a procurement event are agreeing to the same terms, and you'll also be agreeing ahead of time to execute the contract and related documents within 3 days of commission decision of the results, if you have bids that have been selected. There are red lines to documentation that has changed since the most recent procurement events, and also a red line available between the two separate capacity contracts. These are posted on the website. You can follow the link at the bottom of this slide. This slide provides the main credit terms for the energy contracts. So the exposure calculation is based on a mark-to-market methodology. So there could be a collateral requirement that's applicable to the seller. This requirement will apply to the seller only. If there is a collateral requirement, the seller must post performance assurance in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee. Within each contract, there are standard letters of credit and guarantee forms, along with a document that lists modification to the form of guarantee that are already deemed acceptable to the respective company. So you'll need to use these standard forms and incorporate only these acceptable modifications. If a seller has multiple contracts with a buyer, then a single guarantee, can be used across those contracts. So, talking again about MISO delivered ZRCs. So, this slide provides a high level description of the payment. So, for a given source zone and for a given season of a planning year, the amount that's paid to the seller is the average of the seller's approved bids for the season and source zone in dollar per megawatt day, multiplied by the number of ZRCs delivered, and then multiplied by the number of calendar days in the season. And again, physical ZRCs must be transferred to AIC through MISO's tracking tool under this contract. The payment for ZRCs from zones outside of LRZ4 will be adjusted. That adjustment is based on the applicable auction clearing price of the source zone of the selected ZRC relative to the clearing price for the compliance zone, zone 4. We actually have currently posted to our website several examples for how the payment adjustment is done. You can visit the FAQ section by using the link here on this slide to review some numerical examples. And just for the avoidance of doubt, there is no payment adjustment required for ZRCs from the compliance zone, zone 4. This slide is going to provide a description of the payment and reporting terms under the financially settled capacity contract. So, for a given season of a planning year, the financial settlement amount equals the product of the result obtained by subtracting the clearing price for the AIC compliant zone 4 for the season from the average of the seller's own approved bids for that season in dollars per megawatt day, multiplied by the number of calendar days in the season, and then the number of financially settled ZRCs that were approved by the commission for the season. If the financial settlement amount is positive, then AIC will pay the seller. And if the financial settlement amount is negative, then the seller will pay AIC. And again, there's no transfer of physical ZRCs under this contract. Again, we've posted a couple of FAQs here, numerical examples for both the positive and negative settlement. You can follow this link here to get to those examples. And also, notably, the seller under this contract is responsible for all required reporting to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and will be the reporting counterparty. This is the final slide in this section, and it covers the main credit terms for the AIC capacity contracts. Again, the collateral requirement applies only to the seller. So, exposure under both of these contracts will be 10% of the contract value as defined in the respective contracts, and it's required on the effective date. For MISO delivered ZRCs, the contract value is based on the bids approved and any payment adjustment, as I mentioned. If after any adjustments, the seller is required to pay the buyer, then the exposure is simply the amount owed to the buyer. Again, any required performance assurance can be posted in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee if the seller is relying on the creditworthy guarantor. And there are standard forms of the letters of credit and guarantee and lists of acceptable modifications that can be made to the guarantee. These standard forms and the list of acceptable modifications are the same across the two capacity contracts. So that concludes the overview of the supplier contract. I'm going to give an overview now of the RFP process. So, in order to qualify to bid in the BEC RFP, you're going to need to submit qualification materials to us online. You're going to fill out online forms. If you're a new bidder and you have not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit a proposal, you should go ahead and do that now. You can register either by going to the procurement site IPA-energyrfp.com and clicking on the qualification form link on the left-hand side, and then clicking on register here. You could also send us an email to the email address here with this information, company name, etc. The individual that registers for an account is going to receive an email with account activation instructions. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. A current account holder is a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2023 or later, or an account holder that registered in 2023 or later. So if you fall into this bucket, even though you do not need to re-register with us, every account holder will have to activate their account in order to access the form. So for a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2023 or later, it's the representative that's going to e receive an email with an activation link from us today. If you're an account holder as of 2023 but have not participated, it's the individual that registered that's going to get this activation link by email today. We're going to also send instructions to access and complete the online forms. This will go to current and new account holders. These instructions will include screenshots for how to activate your account. Also, new for this round, two-factor authentication will be available as an opt-in security feature. If you are a current account holder or if you're new and registered for an account, again, you're going to receive all of this information in email today. It could come after hours, but it's coming today. The RFP process is going to kick off on Monday, March 10th, and this is when you can start submitting proposal materials. So the proposal is submitted in two parts, a part one proposal and then a part two proposal. The part two includes posting bid assurance collateral. The part one window is from March 10th through March 17th. Applicants must pay a $500 bid participation fee by the part one deadline on March 17th. That's by noon. We're going to send instructions for payment of the bid participation fee to account holders today. Bidders are notified whether they qualified and can submit a part two proposal on the part one notification date. That'll take place on March 24th. The next day, the part two window opens, and part two proposals, including providing bid assurance collateral for energy procurement events, are due by April 1st. The bid assurance collateral for capacity is due much later on May 2nd. That's because it's much closer to the capacity bid date, which is not until early May. On April 7th, excuse me, on April 2nd, we'll be holding a bidder training for energy bidders. This will be the opportunity for qualified bidders to practice all of the procedures that will be used on the bid date. The bid date for the energy events is Monday, April 7th, with ICC decision on the results expected by Thursday that week. And again, the results of each procurement event is subject to ICC approval. The capacity bid date will be held on Friday, May 9th. We'll have a separate training for qualified capacity bidders that week on May 6th. And then the ICC is expected to render a decision on the results for capacity on May 15th. So, as I just laid out on that last slide, the process will begin Monday. It's going to proceed over approximately 2 months. Suppliers start by submitting the part one proposal to become qualified in one or more procurement events. Suppliers then submit a part two proposal for any procurement event in which they qualified. Bids are submitted and evaluated on dedicated bid dates. Then both the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor for this RFP will submit separate reports on the results to the commission, and then the commission will render a decision on the results of each event. Next, the utilities and winning sellers can proceed to executing the contracts, and winning sellers must pay supplier fees to the Illinois Power Agency. So, this slide provides the supplier fee estimates, which again are paid to the IPA by winning suppliers only. It's due within 7 days of commission approval on the results. The estimates are $672 per on-peak block, $448 per off-peak block, and $20 per ZRC. We will announce the final supplier fees 4 business days before the applicable bid date. So with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Kate Morrison, who will walk through the RFP requirements.
Thank you, Katie. All bidders participating in the spring 2025 BEC procurement events must complete a two-part application process. The first portion of this is called the Part One proposal and consists of information submitted through the online Part One form, supporting documents that are either uploaded to the form or sent by email to the procurement administrator, and inserts, which are standalone forms in Microsoft Word, available for download from the website. Please note that inserts are not retained from previous procurement events. Lastly, a payment of the bid participation fee is due directly to the IPA. The Part One proposal is due by 12 p.m. noon Central on Monday, March 17th. The Part One form will ask for basic information about the bidder, including its name and address. For a bidder in energy procurement events, the bidder will need to provide information about its participation in PJM and MISO. The bidder will also need to name an officer who will sign all certifications in the Part One and Part Two proposal, a representative who serves as the bidder's main contact for purposes of the RFP, and any nominees. The procurement administrator will communicate only with the representative and nominees, so bidders must ensure that the people who are working on the proposal on behalf of the bidder are those who are named with their proposal. The officer of the bidder is required to make several certifications by signing inserts with the Part One and Part Two proposals. The officer may sign all required Part One and Part Two inserts at once and submit all inserts with the Part One proposal for early processing if they choose. A bidder that submits all inserts is not required to resubmit these inserts with the Part Two form. There are two methods for signing the inserts. You may either sign with a digital signature and provide an additional document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory, or you may sign with a scanned wet signature or an electronic signature. An insert completed with a digital signature may be uploaded to the online form or emailed to the procurement administrator. However, an insert completed with a scanned wet or electronic signature must be submitted by email, by the signatory, or with the signatory on copy. All Part One and Part Two inserts are posted to the procurement website, and each insert includes specific instructions for its completion. All bidders must pay a single bid participation fee of $500 for all 2025 procurement events. This bid participation fee is due to the IPA by 12 p.m. noon on the Part One date of March 17th. Payment by check is not an acceptable method of payment. There are only two methods of payment, and those methods are both electronic. You may either use ePay Online or ACH Automatic Clearinghouse in CCD or CCD Plus format. We will send out a complete set of instructions when we issue accounts. This information will be sent to all current account holders and those individuals who have recently requested qualification credentials. With the Part One proposal, bidders must provide certain financial information, starting with the name of the entity upon whose financial standing the bidder is relying. The bidder chooses to rely either on its own financial standing or on the financial standing of another party. The bidder must then provide credit ratings for such entity, as well as annual and quarterly financial information. If any of the information is not available for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies, you must state this fact in Section 10 of the online Part One form, the justifications of omissions. Additional information and inserts are required for each procurement event you are participating in. Bidders participating in AIC Energy will fill out Section 4 of the online Part One form, ComEd will be Section 5, MEC Section 6, and AIC Capacity Section 7. Under those sections, you will be asked for information to prepare the applicable supplier contract documents via inserts that are provided as Word documents, and several representations by the officer of the bidder. The Part 2 proposal will require additional representations from the officer that can be provided along with the Part 1 proposal. Sections 8 and 9 in the Part 1 form must be filled out as needed by bidders applying under an agency agreement or relying under the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. For the block energy procurement events, the public results release will include the expected fuel mix related to winning bids aggregated across winning bidders. The officer of the bidder must certify that the bidder will submit a complete fuel mix report by 6 p.m. on April 8th, the business day after the bid date. Additionally, the IPA will request the actual fuel mix for energy supplied from each winning bidder in December for the preceding 6 months of the planning year, and in June for the preceding 6 months of the prior planning year in which energy was supplied. A bidder that successfully completes the Part 1 proposal for a procurement event receives a Part 1 notification for that procurement event. The Part 1 notification will be provided to bidders on March 24th via a secure electronic method. The Part 1 notification includes documents for submission of the Part 2 proposal, namely the amounts of bid assurance collateral required to bid on all blocks available for each company, the bid forms, and information needed in order to submit the bid forms. Additionally, the Part 1 notification includes an invitation to training where bidders will practice the bid submission procedures. Finally, we will include a Microsoft Excel version of the fuel mix report that is due by 6 p.m. on April 8th from bidders who have bids identified as winning bids to the ICC. The Part 2 proposal consists of information submitted through the online Part 2 form, signed certifications, the submission of bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or an executed pre-bid letter of credit, and the submission of the bids themselves. There are multiple deadlines for the Part 2 proposal. Energy bid assurance collateral is due with the online Part 2 form by April 1st. Energy bids are due on April 7th. Capacity bid assurance collateral is due later by May 2nd, and the capacity bids are due on May 9th. To meet the bid assurance collateral requirements, bidders may either provide a pre-bid letter of credit or post cash. A separate pre-bid letter of credit must be submitted for each procurement event. They must be submitted electronically only and from the issuing bank to the email addresses provided in the letter of credit. This includes 2 to 3 emails for each company and the procurement administrator. The letter of credit must be in the standard format or only incorporate modifications deemed acceptable to the applicable company. The final pre-bid letters of credit and the acceptable modifications are posted to the RFP website and are dated January 22nd. Bidders choosing to post cash to meet the bid assurance collateral requirements must provide several documents, including a cash insert for each company containing certain acknowledgments and a draft request for the return of cash. Bidders in the ComEd and MEC procurement events must provide the W-9 for the entity to which cash is to be returned. Bidders in the AIC procurement events must provide an email address for account setup in AIC's portal for the return of cash. Please note that setup in AIC's portal may take 6 business days following the ICC decision. Lastly, bidders in the MEC procurement event must complete the MEC vendor request form. If a bidder submits a Part 2 proposal to participate in both the AIC Energy and the AIC Capacity procurement events, a single wire transfer to AIC in the amount required for both events is acceptable. For AIC Energy and ComEd, bid assurance collateral must be in the amount of $5,000 per block, subject to a minimum per company, which is $250,000. For MEC, the bid assurance collateral required is $25,000. The procurement administrator will confirm the number of blocks a bidder can bid in the AIC Energy or ComEd procurement events based on the amount of the applicable bid assurance collateral provided. For AIC capacity, the bid assurance collateral required is $200,000, regardless of the amount a bidder plans to bid. Bidders submit bids in the procurement events exclusively using the bid forms provided with the Part 1 notification. Incomplete or inconsistent bid forms will not be evaluated. Bidders will have until the end of the submission window to cure any deficiency in the bid form. If the procurement administrator provides a notice of deficiency with less than 10 minutes remaining in the bid window, then the bidder will have 10 minutes to cure the deficiency. Bid forms must be submitted to the procurement administrator via a secure bid transfer site. A step-by-step guide for bid submission is provided with the Part 1 notification. Bidders will have an opportunity to practice the bid submission process and the backup method during a training session. Please note that there is no webcast accompanying the bidder training session. There are different bid dates for the energy and the capacity procurement events. The energy bid date is Monday, April 7th, and the capacity bid date is Friday, May 9th. There are overlapping bid windows for the energy procurement events. Bids for the 2026 to 2027 and the 2027 to 2028 delivery years are due 1 hour prior to the bids for the 2025 to 2026 delivery year. While notification is not required prior to ICC approval under the Public Utilities Act, the procurement administrator aims to notify bidders whether their bids are identified as winning bids to the ICC by phone by 6 p.m. on the bid date, with a written notice to follow. For bidders with winning bids, there are a couple of deadlines to flag. First, if not already provided, bidders with winning bids must provide the contract inserts for preparation of the applicable supplier contract documents by 12 p.m. noon Central the next business day. This is true for both the block energy and the capacity procurement events. Second, bidders with winning bids in a block energy procurement event must provide fuel mix data using Appendix 20 by 6 p.m. Central the next business day. The procurement administrator and the procurement monitor will then each submit a confidential report to the ICC within 2 business days of the applicable bid date. The ICC will decide whether to accept the results of each procurement event within 2 business days of receiving such reports from the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor. As for contracts, each company will prepare and send via electronic means the partially executed contract documents to winning bidders. Winning bidders should not prepare the contract documents on their own. Winning bidders must use the standard non-negotiable contract documents provided by the company and may not introduce edits. ComEd will prepare the guarantee for the winning bidder, and bidders will have the option to amend their guarantee for ComEd instead of signing a replacement guarantee. However, winners for AIC and MEC will prepare and submit their own guarantees for electronic receipt by AIC or MEC. Bidders will then countersign, send back electronically the contract documents, and fulfill their creditworthiness requirements that are specific to each company. A summary of the contract execution procedures will be provided to bidders. To note, sellers that are unable to execute the documents for ComEd using a wet signature will be required to use a di digital signature and provide evidence such as a certificate or process flow report. Lastly, supplier fees are due to the IPA within 7 business days of the ICC decision of a procurement event. If supplier fees are not paid by the deadline, bid assurance collateral may be drawn upon. Next up, Paul Cardona will review bids and bid forms for the procurement events.
Thank you, Kate. Excuse me. A bid in the block energy procurement events consists of both a price and a quantity. Specifically, a bid is a price for a block of a product or for a block of a combination and is expressed in dollars per megawatt hour. Note, you can bid on all blocks for a product, and it doesn't preclude you from also submitting bids on combinations that include that product. So, as an example, say the target is 2 blocks for February 2026 during the on-peak period for a utility, A bidder can submit both a bid for February 2026 individual blocks as well as the January February combination. So in total, the bidder is submitting bids for three blocks in February 2026, even though the target is two blocks. Bidders successfully completing a Part 1 proposal for energy products will receive two bid forms with a Part 1 notification. Each bid form is associated with overlapping bid windows. So the first bid form will, with a bid window from 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. for the 2026, 2027, and 2027, 2028 delivery years. And a second bid form with a bid window of 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the 2025, 2026 delivery year. I now want to introduce a concept called the maximum willingness to supply, or MWS. The MWS is a maximum number of blocks that a bidder wants to win for a particular segment and month for a company. So the procurement administrator calculates a default MWS, which is the minimum of the target for a segment and month, as well as the number of blocks bid across all products and combinations that include that segment and month. A bidder may, but is not required to, specify a maximum willingness to supply for a segment of a month to override this default calculated by the procurement administrator. It's best understood through an example, so I'll now go over an example on this slide. Note that the screenshot is illustrative only and does not follow the bid form exactly. Say a bidder wants to win up to two February blocks for a segment for a utility denoted in the cell outlined green at the bottom of the slide. The bidder would specify MWS for February of two blocks, but could submit bids for two individual February blocks and submit bids for two January February combination blocks and submit bids for one annual combination block. So in total, the bidder is bidding for five blocks across all products combinations that include February. However, the procurement administrator could only select as winning bids up to two blocks from some combination of the bids for the individual February blocks, the January-February combination blocks, or the annual combination blocks because the bidder specified a maximum willingness to supply of two blocks. Bidders wishing to read more about maximum willingness to supply are encouraged to download and read Appendix 18 to the RFP rules that is posted to the RFP website. As Katie mentioned on earlier slides, the bid evaluation proceeds in two steps. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And step two, bids are selected that yield the lowest average cost per megawatt hour. The last portion of this presentation will be dedicated to a review of AIC capacity bids and the AIC capacity bid form. Bids for each season in the two planning years will be submitted in a single bid form. There are two tabs for each planning year, one tab for MISO delivered ZRCs and one tab for financially settled ZRCs. A bid consists of, for each season or for an annual combination, a quantity of ZRCs, a price associated with the quantity of ZRCs expressed in dollars per megawatt day, and for MISO delivered ZRCs only, the local resource zone of those ZRCs. Please note that there is now a requirement that you must bid for at least four ZRCs for a given season at each price point. This requirement is only applicable to bids for individual seasons of a planning year and is not applicable to bids for an annual combination. Bidders may submit bids for ZRCs at multiple price points, but cannot exceed the ZRC target for a given season in a planning year. Again, you must bid for at least four ZRCs for a given season at each price point. The following example is an illustration and is illustrative only. For the spring 2026-2027 season, this bidder submitting bids for 69 ZRCs in total, considering bids for the spring 2026-2027 season individually, as well as for the 2026-2027 annual combination. This bidder can submit bids for ZRCs in a number of ways and submits the bids that are shown here. Note that it's not necessary for the procurement administrator to identify all ZRCs bid at a given price point as winning bids. So, for example, if a bidder submits bids as shown on this slide, it may be the case that the procurement administrator need only to select five of the 10 ZRCs bid at $50 per megawatt day for the spring 2026-2027 season individually. In the spring 2025 procurement event, we are introducing the concept of maximum willingness to supply to the bids for the AIC capacity products. The ZRC, maximum willingness to supply, also referred to as ZRC MWS, is a maximum number of ZRCs across MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs that a bidder wants to win for a particular season of a planning year. Similar to the block energy procurement events, the procurement monitor calculates a default ZRC MWS, which is the minimum of the target for a season of a planning year, and the number of ZRCs bid for that season of that planning year. The number of ZRCs bid for a season of a planning year consists of ZRCs bid, again, across MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs for the season individually, as well as ZRCs bid for the annual combination that includes that season. The bidder may, but is not required to specify a ZRC maximum willingness to supply for a season to override this default calculated by the procurement administrator. Please note again that the ZRC maximum willingness to supply must be at least four ZRCs for a season of a planning year. Again, I'll now go over an example on this slide. And again, note that the screenshot is illustrative only and does not follow the bid form exactly. Please also note that this example is for financially settled ZRCs, but this is also applicable to MISO delivered ZRCs. Say that a bidder wants to win up to 100 ZRCs for the winter season, denoted in the cell outlined green at the bottom of the slide. The bidder would specify our ZRC MWS for winter of 100 ZRCs, but could submit bids for 64 ZRCs for the winter season individually, as shown here, as well as submitting bids for 74 annual combination ZRCs. In total, this bidder is submitting 138 ZRCs across the winter season individually and for the annual combination. However, the procurement administrator could select as winning bids only up to 100 ZRCs from some combination of the ZRCs bid for the individual winter season or from the annual combination because that bidder specified a ZRC maximum willingness to supply of 100 ZRCs. Bidders wishing to read more about the ZRC maximum willingness to supply are encouraged to download and read Appendix 19 to the RFP rules that is posted to the RFP website. The document is dated March 6th. Lastly, similar to the bid evaluation for energy products, the bid evaluation for capacity products proceeds in two steps for each planning year. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And step two, the package that yields the lowest average cost per megawatt day is selected. With that, that includes the presentation portion of this webcast.